thank God for this morning. Thank you for leading the songs and all that we've done this morning in the Lord's table and the time to give and all that we've done in prayers. And we thank you for your presence here on this morning and pray that God will speak to us through his word on today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. And I want to read a little bit more than the reference there. I want to start at verse 14, and we're actually going to read to 29. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. And so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And then they brought him to him, and he saw him, and immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, underline that passage. Amen. And he asked him, "If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, "I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that they said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And then he said to them, "This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this account. It's not written here purposelessly. There's purpose to this story, and there's a message in this story for us. And we would ask that you would help us to see the message intended for us. Help us, Lord, as we strive to live for you each and every day. Help us as we strive to grow as a church, as a congregation, in our influence in this community. Help us to be that light, that city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We thank you, Lord, for your love, grace, and mercy. Guide, protect, watch over, and keep us all in your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 24, after I asked that question, the statement is made, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." The father trembles as he's thinking about his son, spending years watching his son going through this pain, feeling helpless as you see him convulsing. Sometimes as he goes into these convulsions, he's thrown into the fire. Sometimes it says that he's thrown into the water, that he falls as he's making, have these seizures and these convulsions, he falls into the water. Life is in peril, his life. And as a father, seeing our sons recently in hospitals, You feel helpless sometimes. You look at the pain that they're going through and the situations that they're going through right now. And sometimes you just feel helpless over that situation. This man no doubt felt helpless as he sees his son wailing and there convulsing. It says his eyes rolled back. He foamed at the mouth. And no physician that he went to, no priest that he went to could help him for this sickness, that ailed him. And believe me, if you have this, you're going to try everything. You're going to go to the town, the psychic sometimes. I see people going to extremes sometimes because they're trying to find an answer for something. And this dad, no doubt, probably went all around looking for some help. And he hears that Jesus is in town. He hears of the miracles that he has performed, of him raising some from the dead, of him taking a man with a withered hand and making it whole. He restored sight to those that were blind. He gave hearing to those that were deaf. He hears these miracles, and all of a sudden, you see a ray of hope within him. And there he is as Jesus is there. And he asks him a question, If you can do anything, have pity on us, Lord. Have pity on us. And Jesus looks at him and asks him about his belief system. First of all, he's a little frustrated. They came to the disciples. Like I said, he's going to go everywhere he can. And he went to the disciples. The disciples couldn't do it. Sometimes we got to go to the source. Amen. Sometimes even pastor and preacher and minister and elder is not enough. Go straight to the source sometimes first. And so he goes to Jesus. Father is in desire for his son to be made whole. Look back with me at verse 21. Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening? He says, from childhood. He's thrown into the fire. He's thrown into the water to destroy him. And if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And what does Jesus tell him? Believe. Believe. All things are possible if you believe. If you didn't underline it yet, you still got time. All things are possible if you believe. Now, I'm one of them type of believers. I'm one of them type of people to say anything is possible. I've seen God move mountains in my life. I've seen him open opportunities that I know it wasn't because of me. I've seen him do miraculous things in my life that I knew it wasn't anyone else but God. And yet this man is here saying, look, I've tried it all. I prayed that prayer. I did what you told me to do. I'm trying to do all these things, and yet still I'm at this frustrating place that while I'm doing all that I'm supposed to be doing, it doesn't seem to work. And then Jesus says, well, if you only believe. And for a moment, this man, he comes back and he says, well, I do believe. And I don't know if there was a pause there. I don't know if there was a moment of reflection that came right after that statement. I don't know if it just ran right through. I do believe, help me in my unbelief. I don't know. But I know this, that what he's saying is I believe, but there's also a part of me that I've tried everything else. And yet in front of you, the master right now, because nothing else has ever helped, there's still a part of me that still doubts. There's still part of me that needs some proof. Help me, Lord, in my unbelief. You know, this was like a kind of like a prayer, not a polished prayer as he's talking to God, but something, a statement that he's making to God that just shows the rawness and the realness of this person and the struggle that he's been going through. And so I want to kind of talk about that a little bit today. Maybe you've been there too. Where your faith is kind of like low, hanging by a thread, that while you believe, there's still doubt, Maybe it's not a doctrinal doubt. Maybe it's a doubt. God, do you love me? God, do you care for me? God, are you still with me, God? And so there, all these questions are still there. And I want you to, first of all, understand that it's okay to have some doubt. It's okay to even ask those questions. God is big enough to be able to take those doubts and take even your struggles that you're going through. He understands that we're frail, that we're just like the flesh of the grass of the field. You know, we're weak. He understands us. He understands that there are times we're going to be strong and we're going to feel like we're walking on mountains with the Lord. And then there are other times that we're going to feel like we are in that valley. And in that valley where there's darkness and we're walking, it feels like we're alone. And we know we're not. But sometimes it feels that way. And so there he is. There's this man. And he's asking God, you know, or rather stating to Jesus, I believe, but there's another part of me. There's another side to me. There's another face that I also have where my faith is fragile. And I want you to look at this for a moment. Faith and doubt can and do coexist. It's not strange. Matter of fact, it's very natural in our growth, you know, faith. It's natural to have doubt. It's natural to doubt where we are in positionally with God. It's natural to have all of those type of things. Doubt does not disqualify you from God's blessings. He doesn't say, cutting you off. You don't believe? I'm cutting you off. No. Jesus talked about mustard seed faith. He said that even with mustard seed faith, you can move mountains with mustard seed faith. So obviously, we don't have to be so mature in all the areas and grown and understand Genesis to Revelation in the context of Revelation chapter 3. You don't have to understand all of that. He wants our faith and our trust to be put in him. Not in your intellect, not in your will, not in your way, not in our what I think, but in him. And faith, true faith, working through this faith, it's like building muscles, right? I've been going back to the gym lately, and my body's reminding me. It's reminding me. All right, you don't have to clap. All right. And you go there, and you understand, and there's some weak areas in my life, in my body right now, right? And so I'll tell you right now, I can weight lift like that, I can curl, but when it comes to them crunches, sometimes all those muscles are tense up, and I'm trying to stretch them back out. You know why? They're weak. They're weak because I haven't been using them. I haven't been working on that core, and if you don't work on it, if you don't put attention to it, it grows weak. Oh, that's just like our faith. Our faith is an active faith. It ought to be a growing faith, and if we're not actively adding to, then what's happening? It's growing weaker and weaker and weaker. That's why it's important to be here. That's why it's important to be at Bible study. That's why it's important. Each day we're getting a little bit more faith. That's why when you go into the gym, you're not going to conquer everything that day. You're not going to be a gym warrior in one day and all of a sudden, now I'm fit and fabulous. No. You got to go through. You got to get some pain. You got to work out. You're going to have to get sore. Sometimes there's a little setback, but then you got to persevere. You got to keep going at it. And if you keep going at it, then eventually what happens? Then you look in that mirror and you're like, "Woo! What? Is that me? Come on now." Faith and doubt can coexist. In one breath, he confessed and he said, I do believe. But he also begged for help in his unbelief. This teaches us once again that it doesn't disqualify us from our faith. Instead, doubt can be a stepping stone, stepping stone toward deeper trust and honesty with God. See, here's the thing with God. In those moments of weakness, God is there and meeting us in the moments of weakness. I know sometimes we feel like, well, because my faith is weak now, or because even I'm going through a season. Listen, you can go through a season of doubt, a season of lack of faith or declining faith. That can be a season in our life that God may be using in order to kind of, once again, get our attention, hopefully stir us up. And then when we recognize I'm weak in this area, it's time to rebuild, right? Time to refocus and rebuild, hopefully. But here's the thing, God meets us even in those weak moments. He doesn't abandon us because now we have doubts. No, he's still there. And we see this in Elijah, this account in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm not going to read it. Most of you probably know this story very well. But Elijah flees after this great victory on Mount Carmel. They defeated the prophets, the false prophets. And now all of a sudden, here he is. He heard that Jezebel was going to take his head. A moment ago, he's even touting the false prophets, you know, about their false god and all that. And then when they built the altar and they were saying, look, let's call on our gods. You call on your fake god to build up, to bring that fire upon that altar. I'll call on the true and living God, and we'll prove this day who the true and living God is. And God answered by fire. God consumed that sacrifice. He consumed it. And with all of that strength now, with all of that power now, with all that the world, all those that were there, had seen the power of God, of his God working through him. And then in just the next moment, he hears Jezebel wants his head and wants to kill him. And he runs. And he runs. And he runs. He runs into this desert. He runs under the, and we find him under this broom tree. Exhausted. Doubtful of his place. Secluding, pushing himself and others away from him. And it's there that God meets him in his weakness. God asks him, and what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And of course, he didn't have a good reply, but he has his reply. And then the Lord feeds him and takes care of him in those moments. And then he runs into the cave, and same situation. He was looking for God to come by in magnificent force and all that. And yet God came and he spoke in a small voice. God came, and sometimes we're expecting God, I'm expecting you to do this, just like Naaman. I'm expecting you to work in this way, Lord. And sometimes we put our conditions upon God and we ask God to do what we want to do, how we want him to do it. And yet in this account, it says that God came to him, but he came that in the small, sweet voice. And in other words, God comes in sometimes in some magnificent ways that we won't even expect. We couldn't even, not even expect, we couldn't even imagine sometimes. God comes. But in order for the Lord to come and to revive him and to refresh his mission and his purpose and all that, he had to meet him where he was first. He had to meet him in that weakness. He had to meet him in that moment. And he had to treat him as a father treats a son, as a mother treats a child that's weak and that needs help at that time. You don't say, well, how did you get here? You say, how can we help you get up? And that's what he does with Elijah. That's what he does with us, right? God desires that we draw near to him. He meets us in that weakness. He provides for us even while we're astray, because God has a bigger plan. See, the pain, I've been sharing with this with you, sometimes the pain is necessary for the growth. In that gym example, the pain, no pain, No gain. You have to go through it. It's got to hurt. It's going to hurt. Read the Bible and you'll see these aren't superheroes that never went through things. David went through some things. David had to go through so many different challenges and yet still be called a man after God's own heart. Falling down and falling into temptation and trying to do the cover up and all that, and the whole kingdom now divided and against them, and his family members and I mean at war with one another. I mean his legacy is tainted and all that, and yet still a man after God's own heart. Whatever you've done, wherever you are, whatever you're struggling with, use it as a stepping stone to get back to God. Don't lay there and stay in the mess. No, let's use it and recognize God may be using this pain to open our eyes. I'm going to tell you right now, pain is what got me into the Lord. Pain. Pain is what opened my eyes to see God. It hurt. The relationship I was in hurt so bad that I needed some help. I needed help. And I was going all these other places for help, and it wasn't helping. I went to the drugs. It did not help. I went to trying to just fulfill my own needs, and it did not help. But God, the only true source of help was when I finally opened my eyes and realized I cannot do this by myself. I need you, Lord. I need you. See, faith is not about our feelings, but it's about focusing on him. Focusing on him. And you know Peter with that moment of walking on the water, and in Matthew chapter 14, he steps out onto that water and for a moment, doing the impossible. It says that he stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. I remember, I think Darren preached a message a long time ago. Let's not be all bad on him. He actually walked. He walked on water. We can't say that. But just like doubt, or faith rather, just in this moment, we see that same thing, faith and doubt mix. Coexisting. And here he has both. And for a moment, he's walking strong with the Lord. And just in a moment, with the focus off, we know what happens. He begins to sink. And so if I want to walk, I've got to keep focus. I got to keep faith focused upon him and not be distracted with the world's pullings and even with others' ideas of how you should be and what you should do and this and that. Oftentimes, we become people pleasers in our lives when first thing we need to do is look to him and please God. And then from that, let that flow. Focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because there are going to be winds, there are going to be storms, the waters are going to rage. It's just part of life. It's part of this thing, this journey of life. We're going to have our good times, we're going to have our bad moments and all of that, but the key is don't jump out. Look, if we're in the boat, don't jump out the boat. Stay in the confines of the boat. As dangerous as everything is out there, and the storms look, and the seas look, and how they rage so greatly, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat with the Lord, because that's where your protection is. See, faith, as we already kind of talked about, grows through our testing. I don't know about you, but I just don't like pain. I don't like feeling upset, angry. I don't like the anxiety that comes, you know, with all of that. It's just, I don't like pain. And I don't think most people do, right? I don't think I'm strange in that. But I want you to see something James says. James says, count it what? All joy, brothers, when you fall into these various trials. Trials and tribulations. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith and not doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, someone might say, well, it's telling us not to doubt. True. It also tells us not to steal. And we still do that, don't we? It also tells us not to lie. And we do that, don't we? This is telling us, this is what the complete man, this is the picture of how you ought to be as a complete man, but the reality, once again, is we're not. Or at times we're not, And so we need to be reminded of what is the model and how is that we need to be. And it is telling us that while we're going through these trials and tribulations, recognize that there's a greater plan at play. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to be able to go through some things when we understand that there's a big result at the end. You know, you go through 9 months of labor understanding that there's going to be a payout. Hello? Right? You go through school and 4 years of school, or maybe even 8 years of school, knowing that at the end of it, there's going to be a blessing at the end of it, hopefully. Trials and tribulations, he's saying our perspective ought to be that we recognize that God is at work. All right? It's not the painful situation that's at work. God is at work. It's not, you know, just God is doing this in order to hurt me because he doesn't love me. God is at work. I mean, even if Satan is the one that's causing it, I heard somewhere the Bible says that all things work together for good for those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. So that means that any situation, God can use it if we use it. If we learn the lessons from it, if we open our eyes to what God is doing, and that even through the struggle and through the pain of everything we're going through, there's a payout at the end if I remain faithful. And how do I put this? It's easy. I mean, these are good, like, amen moments. Amen. No. I'm not prompting you, amen. What I'm saying is, these are great amen moments, but in the moment, it don't feel like an amen moment. When you're going through it, absolutely. It's painful. It hurts. You're doubting. You're questioning yourself. You're questioning God. You're questioning others. You're questioning your purpose. You're questioning, should I, shouldn't I? And all these things are there. Faith and doubt right there mixed. And yet, what we need to do, once again, is recognize God is at work in my life. God is at work in your life. And even the tragedies, the trials and tribulations that you're going through right now, He's still at work. I was listening to a song this morning, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh. And then he goes, even when I can see that you're working, even when I can feel that you're working, you never stop working. Even when I can't feel that he's working, he's still working. Because it's not dependent upon our feelings. It's not dependent upon how we feel about it. God is God. And God is at work. Amen. Always. Always. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you to keep your hand to the plow. The Bible says, don't look back. But I'm sorry for adding to the Bible. That's true, and that's exactly what the Lord wants. Don't look back. No. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do what he tells us not to do. And even when we do what he tells us not to do, he still loves you. And he still wants you to turn back and refocus and realign yourself and recommit yourself to him and rededicate yourself to him. Because wherever he leads you, that's where we need to be. And wherever he leads, that's where I want to follow. And whatever God is saying, that's what we want to do. And so let's lift the Lord up. Let's stay faithful to him. Let's stay true to his word. And let's take some practical steps to help us in that way. First of all, some practical steps. You can speak your doubts to God. He can hear you. He wants to hear you. He understands your pain. He can take it. You know, when you look at many of the psalms that are written, many of them are prayers and songs. And some of them don't even sound pretty. There's one where it's saying, because of the fall, the Babylonian conquest and all that, and all that they saw, Lord, take their children and dash them against the rocks. What? What Christian says that? What child of God? Well, they weren't Christians then. They were just children of God in that old system, but what child of God says and does that? And yet it's there in our book. See, the rawness of us, in our, God can deal with it. He can deal with it. So take your problems, take your doubts, take your concerns to the Lord. He can handle. He can handle them. Lean on the community of faith that's here. We're here for one another. We have elders and deacons and ministers for a reason. And then, of course, we've got good old sages that are sitting right here in the audience. Amen. That we can pull wisdom from. That have gone through experiences. You know, oftentimes what we do when there's a pain and all that, we want to seclude ourselves. We want to just do exactly what Elijah did. Run. Run. Run alone, run under the tree, hide. God wants us to lean into this community that he's given us and then feed our faith. Read the word of God. Look at all the stories that are here to gain some, you know, some help. And not only the Bible itself. I mean, of course I'm going to tell you to read the Bible, but there are so many devotionals. There are so many accounts that give you inspiration. Feed yourself with inspiration. When I get blue and down in the dumps, and I do and I do and I do, I got to purposely try to find ways to get out. Purposely listening to some things that'll help me break out of it. I was listening to Waymaker this morning for a reason. I'm trying to get my mind and my heart and everything right before God to connect and recognize I've got to feed my soul. Feed your faith, read scripture, words of faith, and then take those small steps every day. Once again, this is a journey. This Christian life is a journey, and it's a journey of steps. And oftentimes, as you're going through this journey, we all know this, there are setbacks. Sometimes you're going to fall down. Sometimes it's going to be an obstacle. You're going to have to go around and all that. That's the reality of this life. But just because you fell don't mean you got to stay falling. Just because there's an obstacle doesn't mean that it stops you from going in the right way. No, you got to go around it. Don't go backward. Take a detour. Go around it. It might be a little longer. It might take a little longer, but we got to stay on that way. Take those small steps. Trust God. Lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all things. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that you would help us, watch over us, Lord, keep us, Lord, in your loving arms. I ask that you would fuel our faith, that you would help each of us, Lord, to get a little extra measure of your grace and mercy, an extra understanding of our position with you. Help us to be able to see you clearly in our lives and those areas where we know you're not, Lord. Help us to feel you into those areas. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves to you, to your mission. Father, bless and build us up. We all grow weak and weary at times. And yet, Lord, you've promised it, that you will refresh us, Lord. Help us not to grow weak and weary. Lord, help us continue striving to do your will, to be on fire for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time together in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here and you believe, but you may still need help in your unbelief. And once again, I want to just make sure that we normalize that. It's a normal thing to happen. And here we are now with an opportunity for you to come and to surrender and to give your life completely to the Lord. And when I say that, oftentimes there's feelings of inadequacy, feelings that I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done, and you don't know where I've been, and you don't. And once again, David was a murderer, and he was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't that it was glorified what he did. It was magnifies God's salvation. It magnifies God's love. When you see how when Paul's talking about the fact that old wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? He's looking in the mirror and going, who am I? What? Do you understand who Domingo Reyes is? Do you understand who Mark Ray is? Do you understand who Sue Maynard? I mean, who am I? We're pretty good people, I'll tell you that. But we ain't as good as we seem. That's right. Because in each of us is that other side. In each of us is that carnal man. And that's why we need the Lord. We need him in our lives to help regulate. We need him in our lives to help us refocus. We need him in our lives because woe to him that when he falls down has no one to pick him up, right? If we're just now without any help at all, we don't have the church, we don't have God, we don't have anything, then you're left by yourself. But God wants to be your bridge. God wants to be your foundation. And so this morning, you can start that foundation. You don't have to be perfect. None of us were or are. So you're in good company. What you need to do is come deciding and determining that you want to be his and that you want his salvation and that you want him in your life and that you're determining to walk that path with him. Recognizing there's going to be struggles, there's going to be obstacles, there are going to be challenges, but I'm willing to take that step. How do you take that step? You hear this wonderful word of what God did. You've heard it so much today already. And when we took communion, I mean, it's been preached today. Will you believe it? Are you ready to now put him on in baptism? Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Romans 6:3-4, in baptism we're buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism washes away your sins. And after we're baptized, and we're added to the church. After, let me rephrase this, after we obey the gospel in baptism, are you then freed and brought into the family of God? Won't you come in? Won't you be ready? Won't you desire, I mean, won't you come and just surrender completely to the Lord? This is your opportunity. We've got everything ready. The water is ready. It's clean and warm. We got clothes. Thank you, Boyd. We got clothes in there. We got everything ready. If you're ready, won't you come as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?